Anna Massey as Gilda, John Rye as Otto, Martin Jarvis as Leo, and John Rowe as Ernest in Noel Coward's comedy of the 1930s, Design for Living. Paris, a rather shabby studio.
Ernest!
May I come in?
I've no idea you were back.
I arrived last night.
What's that?
Something exquisite, superb.
The Matisse?
Yes.
You got it after all.
Unbelievable.
Undo it quickly.
Otto must hear too.
He's asleep.
Wake him up then.
Oh, not now, Ernest. He's had the most awful neuralgia all night.
Neuralgia?
Yes, all up one side of his face and down the other side.
Wake him up. Wonder if this will take away his neuralgia immediately.
No, really. He's only just dropped off. He's been in agony.
It really is very irritating. I take the trouble to drag this large picture all the way round here, and Otto chooses to have neuralgia.
He didn't choose to have it. He hates having it. His little face is all pinched and strained.
Otto's face is enormous.
Show me the picture, Ernest, and try not to be disagreeable.
It's an anticlimax.
Thank you, dear.
It's no use pretending to be hurt. No, you don't really care for anybody's pictures except Otto's. There.
Yes, it's good.
Stand further back.
Very good indeed. How much?
£800.
What are you going to do with it?
Wait a little.
And then we sell?
I expect so.
It'll need a room to itself.
None of your decorating schemes. Hands off.
Don't you think I'm a good decorator?
Not particularly.
Darling Ernest.
Otto will go mad when he sees it.
You think Otto's good, don't you? You think he's all right?
Coming along very nicely.
Better than that. Much better.
Lady Jaguar defending her young.
You think he's weak, don't you?
Certainly I do.
And that I'm strong.
Strong as an ox.
You've called me a jaguar and an ox within the last 2 minutes. I wish you wouldn't be quite so zoological.
What's the matter with you this morning?
The matter with me?
There's a wild gleam in your eye. Perhaps it was wrong of me to arrive unexpectedly. I should have written you a little note making an appointment.
Be a nice blue bottle and stop buzzing at me, will you?
You're a striking-looking woman. Particularly when a little distrait. It's a pity Otto's paintings of you have always been so tranquil. He's missed something.
The next time he paints me, you must be here to lash me with gay witticisms.
Surely in my role of bitter old family friend, I can demand a little confidence. You could tell me quite safely, you know, if anything's wrong. I might even be able to help with a senile word or two.
Oh, I'm sick of this studio. It's squalid. I wish I was somewhere quite different. I wish I was somebody quite different. I wish I were a nice-minded British matron with a husband, a cook, and a baby. I wish I believed in God and the Daily Mail and Mother India.
I wish you'd tell me what's upsetting you.
I hear voices. I hear my own voice louder than any of the others, and it's beginning to bore me.
With all my detachment, I find it very difficult to regard your painful twistings and turnings with composure.
Why?
Because I'm very fond of you. I feel vaguely paternal towards you.
Yes, Ernest.
And your behaviour confuses me.
My painful twistings and turnings.
Exactly.
What do you mean by that?
Will you explain one thing to me really satisfactorily?
What?
Why don't you marry Otto?
It's very funny that underneath all your worldly wisdom, you're nothing but a respectable little old woman in a dress bonnet.
You don't like being disapproved of, do you?
Of anybody.
Anyhow, I don't disapprove of you yourself. Of course, you're as obstinate as a mule.
There you go again, just a pack of animal grab. That's what I am.
I was about to explain when you so rudely interrupted that it isn't you yourself I disapprove of. Your life is so dreadfully untidy, Gilda.
I'm not a tidy person.
You haven't yet answered my original question.
Why I don't marry Otto?
Yes. Is there a real reason or just a lot of faintly affected theories?
Well, the only reasons for me to marry would be these, to have children, to have a home, to have a background for social activities, and to be provided for. Well, I don't like children, I don't wish for a home, I can't bear social activities, and I have a small but adequate income of my own. I love Otto deeply, and I respect him as a person, and as an artist.
I suppose you know Leo is back.
What?
I said, I suppose you know Leo is back.
It's not true.
Didn't he let you know?
Well, when did he arrive? Where's he staying?
You'll be shocked when I tell you.
Oh, quickly, quickly.
The Georges Cinq.
He must be raving. The Georges Cinq. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Leo at the Georges Cinq. It's a glorious picture. Marble bathrooms and private balconies. Leo and all that grandeur. He ought to be ashamed of himself.
Are you glad he's made money?
Of course I'm glad. I adore Leo.
And Otto. What about Otto?
What do you mean, what about Otto? Everybody's always wrong about Leo and Otto and me. I'm not jealous of Leo's money and success, and Otto won't be either when he knows. I think you should grasp the situation a little better, having known us all so long.
Otto and Leo knew each other first.
Yes. I know all about that. I came along and spoiled everything.
I didn't say that.
That's what you meant. Darling Ernest, there's a crisis on. A full-blooded emotional crisis. And when I need you, which I expect will be very soon, I shall yell. I shall yell like mad.
I knew you were in a state about something.
It's always pleasant to be right, isn't it?
Not by any means.
You're right about something else, too.
What?
Women being unreliable. There are moments in life when I look upon my own damned femininity with complete nausea. There.
Good.
How lovely to be you.
In heaven's name, why?
You're a permanent spectator. You deal in pictures. You look at pictures all day long. Good pictures and bad pictures. Gay pictures and gloomy pictures. And you know why they're this or why they're that. Because you're critical and knowledgeable and wise. You're a clever little deer. That's what you are. A clever little deer.
Gilda, stop it.
Take a look at this, my darling. Measure it with your eyes. Portrait of a woman in three cardinal colours. Portrait of a too loving spirit. Tied down to a predatory feminine carcass.
This is definitely macabre.
Right again.
I think I'd better go. You ought to lie down or something.
Stay a little longer. You'll find out so much.
I don't want to find out anything. You're scaring me to death.
Otto.
I've come home.
You see what happens when I crack the whip?
Little Ernest, how very sweet to see you.
When did you leave Bordeaux?
Night train, dear heart.
Oh, why didn't you telegraph?
Oh, I don't hold with these modern innovations.
This is very interesting.
What's very interesting?
Life, Otto. I was just meditating upon life.
I finished the picture.
Really? Completely finished it?
Yes, it's fine. I brought it away with me. I made the old fool sit for hours and wouldn't let her see. And afterwards, when she did, she made the most awful scene. She said it was out of drawing and made it look podgy. Then I lost my temper and said it was overeating and lack of exercise that made her look podgy. And it was not only an exquisite painting, but unfalteringly true to life. Oh, she dragged me all to be out of the house. I don't suppose she'll ever pay me the rest of the money, but to hell with her. If she doesn't, I shall have the picture.
Unwise, but I'm sure enjoyable.
Well?
Well, what?
What on earth's the matter?
Why should you think anything's the matter?
Have your faces lit up? No. Have you rushed at me with outstretched arms? No. Are you either of you even remotely pleased to see me? Obviously, no. Something dreadful's happened. And you're trying to decide how to break the news to me. What is it? Well, tell me at once, what's the matter?
Gilda has neuralgia.
Nonsense. She's as strong as a horse.
Oh, my God.
What's she oh my godding about?
There's a surprise for you, darling. A beautiful surprise.
What?
You must go to the George Sank at once.
George Sank?
Yes, that's a surprise.
Well, who is it? Who's at the George Sank?
Leo.
Oh, you're not serious. Oh, he couldn't be.
He is. He came back on the Mauritania. His play's still running in Chicago, and he's sold the movie rights, and he's made thousands.
Have you seen him?
Of course, last night.
Well, I'm deaf.
I told you, you didn't understand, Ernest. Oh, if only you'd let me know you were coming, we could have both met you at the station. It would have been so lovely. Leo will be furious. You must go to him at once and bring him back here, and we'll make some sort of plan for the day.
Oh, God, how marvellous. He'll be able to go to Annecy with us.
You've got to go back to New York, and then to London.
Splendid, we'll go with him. Oh, he's been away far too long. Come on.
No.
What are you going to do?
Stay here and tidy up. You go with Otto to fetch Leo. You said my life was untidy, didn't you? Well, I'm taking it to heart.
Come along, Ernest, my little honey. We'll take a taxi.
I don't think I'll go.
Oh, yes, you must. He likes seeing you almost as much as us. Come on.
Oh, of course, go, Ernest, and come back too, and we'll all celebrate. Otto.
Yes?
I love you very much. So be careful crossing roads, won't you? Look to the right and left and all round everything, and don't do anything foolish and impulsive. Please remember, there's a dear.
Be quiet. Don't pester me with your attentions. She's crazy about me, poor little thing. Just crazy about me.
What now?
I don't know, Leo.
Not much time to think.
A few minutes. Whom do you love best? Otto or me?
Silly question.
Answer me anyhow.
Well, how can I be sensible? In any case, what does it matter?
It's important to me.
No, it isn't. Not really. That's not what's important. What we did was inevitable. It's been inevitable for years. Doesn't matter who loves who the most. You can't line up things like that mathematically. We all love each other a lot, far too much. And we made a bloody mess of it. That was inevitable too.
We must get it straight somehow.
Oh, yes, we must get it straight and tie it up with ribbons with a bow on the top. Pity it isn't Valentine's Day.
Mm. Oh, the actual facts are so simple. I love you, you love me. You love Otto, I love Otto. Otto loves you, Otto loves me. There now. Start to unravel from there.
We've always been honest, though, all of us. Honest with each other, I mean. That's something to go on, isn't it?
In this particular instance, it makes the whole thing far more complicated. If we were ordinary, moral, high-thinking citizens, we would carry on a backstairs affair for weeks without saying a word about it. We could lunch and dine together, all three, and not give anything away by so much as a look.
If we were ordinary, moral, high-thinking citizens, we shouldn't have had an affair at all.
Yeah, perhaps not. We should have crushed it down, and the more we crushed it down, the more we should have resented Otto until we hated him. Just think of hating Otto.
Just think of him hating us.
Well, do you think he will?
Yes.
Oh, no, no, no. You mustn't. It's too silly. You must see how unimportant it is, really.
There's no question of not telling you, is there?
Of course not.
We could pretend that you just arrived here and missed them on the way.
Yes, so we could, dear, so we could.
But do you think we're working each other up? Do you think we're imagining it to be more serious than it really is?
Perhaps.
But do you think, after all, he may not mind quite so dreadfully?
He'll mind just as much as you or I would under similar circumstances. Probably a little bit more. Imagine that for a moment, will you? Put yourself in his place.
Oh, don't.
Tell me one thing. How sorry were you last night when once you realized we were in for it?
I wasn't sorry at all. I gave way utterly.
So did I.
There seemed to be something new about you. Something I'd never realized before. Perhaps it's having money. Perhaps your success has given you a little extra glamour.
Look at me now, sweet. It's quite chilly, this morning light. How do I appear to you now?
The same.
So do you. But that's because my eyes are slow at changing visions. I still see you too clearly last night to be able to realize how you look this morning. You were very got up. Very got up indeed in your green dress and your earrings.
Colored lights, sly music, overhanging trees, paper streamers, all the trappings.
Champagne, too, just to celebrate both of us hating it.
We drank to Otto. Perhaps you remember that as well.
Perfect.
Oh, how could we? Oh, how could we?
It seemed quite natural.
Yes, but we knew in our hearts what we were up to. It was vile of us.
I believe I was more to blame than you, really.
Why?
Well, I made the running.
You made the running?
Well, a silly pride made me show off to you, parade my attraction to you like a mannequin. New spring model with a few extra flounces.
Oh, that's my story, Leo. You can't steal it from me. I've been wallowing in self-abasement, dragging out my last night's femininity and spitting on it. I've taken the blame onto myself for the whole thing. Ernest was quite shocked. You should have been listening at the door.
I was.
Good. And you know how I feel.
A lot of damned hysteria.
Possibly, but heartfelt at the moment.
Can't we put an end to this flagellation party now?
We might just as well go on with it. It passes the time.
Until Otto comes back.
Yes, until Otto comes back.
I expect jealousy had something to do with it, too.
Jealousy?
Yes, the subconscious and very deep, but there all the same, there for ages, ever since our first meeting when you chose Otto so firmly.
You and Otto had a row afterwards, didn't you?
Yes, a beauty.
Blows?
Ineffectual blows. Otto fell into the bath.
Was there any water in it?
Not at first.
Yeah, you didn't.
Of course I did. It was the obvious thing to do.
Couldn't he get up?
Well, every time he tried, I pushed him back.
The poor dog.
Finally, he got wet.
It is me. Stop it.
It was a very narrow bar. Far, far too narrow.
Leo.
Hello, Otto.
Why did you stop laughing so sudden?
It's funny how lovely it is to see you.
Why funny?
Where's Ernest?
He wouldn't come back with me. He darted off in a taxi very abruptly when he found Leo wasn't at the hotel. He seemed to be in a fluster.
Ernest's often in a fluster. It's part of his personality, I think.
What's the matter with you both?
Lots of things, Otto. Everything's quite horrid.
I'm awfully puzzled. I wish you both stop hinting and tell me what's happened.
It's serious, Otto. Please try to be wise about it.
How the hell can I be wise about it if I don't know what it is?
Oh, God, this is unbearable.
It wouldn't be what I think it is, would it? I mean, what's just dropped into my mind. It isn't that, is it?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Oh, if only you wouldn't look like that.
I can't say it matters very much how I look.
We're both equally to blame.
When did you arrive? When did... Don't you think we'd better tell me a little more?
I arrived yesterday afternoon, and the moment I'd left my bags at the hotel, I came straight here, naturally.
Gilda and I dined together, and I spent the night here.
Oh. Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
This is the second bad entrance I made this morning. I don't think I'd better make any more.
Oh, Otto, darling, please listen a minute.
What's there to listen to? What is there for you to say?
Nothing. Quite right. Nothing at all.
You couldn't have controlled yourself, not for my sake alone, but for all that lies between us.
We could have, I suppose, but we didn't.
Well, couldn't you have waited until I came back and told me how you felt?
Would that have made things any better?
It would have been honest, at least.
You don't suppose we enjoy telling you, do you? You don't suppose I like watching the pleasure of seeing me fade out of your eyes? If it wasn't, then we'd loved you deeply, both of us. We'd lie to you and deceive you indefinitely rather than inflict this horror on ourselves.
I don't want a love that can shut me out and make me feel more utterly alone than I've ever felt in my life before.
Oh, don't say that. It's not true. You couldn't be shut out, ever. Oh, please, please try to see.
Oh, I see all right. I see perfectly. I know what's happened quite clearly, but I still don't quite understand.
What more do you want to understand?
Were you both drunk?
Of course we weren't.
Oh. Then that's ruled out. One thing is still bewildering me very much, a quite a small trivial thing. You are both obviously strained and upset and unhappy at having to tell me, isn't that so?
Yes.
Then why were you laughing when I came in?
Oh, what on earth does that matter?
It matters a lot. It's very interesting.
It was completely irrelevant. Hysteria. It had nothing to do with anything.
Why were you both laughing when I came in?
It was hysteria, I tell you.
Were you laughing at me?
Yes. Yes, we were. We were. We were laughing at you being wedged in the bath. That's what we were laughing at.
And I shall laugh at that until the end of my days. And I shall roll about on my deathbed thinking about it. And there are other things that I shall laugh at, too. I shall laugh at you now, in this situation, being hurt and grieved and immeasurably calm. What right have you to be hurt and grieved any more than Gilda and me? We're having just as bad a time as you are, probably worse. I didn't stamp about with a martyr's crown on when you rushed off with her in the first place. I didn't look wistful and say I was shut out. And I don't intend to stand any of that nonsense from you.
What happened between Gilda and me last night is actually completely unimportant. A sudden flare-up. And, although we've been mutually attracted to each other for years, it wasn't even based on deep sexual love. It was just an unpremeditated roll in the hay, and we enjoyed it very much. So there.
Well, one thing that magnificent outburst has done for me is this. I don't feel shut out anymore. And I'm extremely grateful to you. You were right about me being hurt and grieved, I was, but that's over too. I've seen something in you that I've never seen before. In all these years, I've never noticed it. I've never realized that deep down underneath your superficial charm and wit, you're nothing but a cheap, second-rate little opportunist, ready to sacrifice anything, however sacred, to the excitement of the moment.
Oh, Otto, listen a minute, please, listen.
Listen to what? A few garbled explanations and excuses, appealing to me to hold on to reason and intelligence? It's our only chance. I don't want an only chance. I don't want a chance to do anything but say what I have to say and leave you both to your own goddamn devices. There was this much vaunted reason and intelligence last night. I hope intelligence gave you a little extra jab and suggested that you lock the door. In furtive underhand affairs, doors are always locked.
Shut up, Otto. What is the use of going on like that?
Don't speak to me. Oh, loyal friend that you are. And keep out of my sight from now onwards. You set me free from a stale affection that must have died ages ago without my realizing it. Well, go ahead, my boy, and do great things. You've already achieved a hotel de luxe, a few smart suits, and the woman I loved. Go ahead. Maybe there are still higher peaks for you to climb. Good luck, both of you. Wonderful luck. I wish you were dead and in hell.
Leo's flat in London, 18 months later.
The place a knockout. It's magnificent. It'll run a year.
2 years.
3 years.
4 years, 5 years, 6 years. It'll run forever. Old ladies will be trampled to death, struggling to get into the pit. Women will have babies regularly in the upper circle bar, drawing the big scene at the end of the second act.
Regularly as clockwork.
The Daily Mail says it's daring and dramatic and witty.
The Daily Express was disgusting.
I shall be cut to the quick if it said anything else.
The Daily Mirror, I regret to say, is a trifle carping.
Getting uppish, I see, naughty little thing.
Change and decay is gripping throughout. The characterization falters here and there, but the dialogue is polished and sustains a high level from first to last and is frequently witty, nay, even brilliant.
I love nay.
But, here we go, dear, but the play on the whole is decidedly thin.
My God, they've noticed it.
Thin? Thin? What do they mean, thin?
Just thin, darling. Thin's thin all the world over, and you can't get away from it.
What would you call it, thin?
Emaciated.
I shall write fat plays from now onwards. Fat plays filled with very fat people.
You mustn't let your vibrations be upset by the Daily Mirror. It means to be kind. That's why one only looks at the pictures.
Well, the Daily Sketch is just as bad.
Just as good, dear. Just as good.
Let's have another look at Old Father Time.
It's there behind the telegraph.
It's non-committal, but amiable. A minute, if slightly inaccurate, description of the plot.
Only a few of the names wrong.
They seem to have missed the main idea of the play.
You mustn't grumble. They say the lines are provocative.
What could they mean by that?
Anyhow, you can't expect a paper like the Times to be really interested in your petty little excursions in the theatre. After all, it is the organ of the nation.
That sounds vaguely pornographic to me.
Hello. Hello, who is it speaking? If you will kindly hold the line for a moment, have ascertain.
Lady Prevelle.
Tell her to go to hell.
It's the third time she's rung up this morning.
No restraint. That's what's wrong with society nowadays.
Hello. Hello. I am so very sorry, but Mr. Mercure is not awake yet. He had a very tiring night, what with one thing and another. Is there any message? Lunch on the 3rd or dinner on the 7th? Yes, I'll write it down. Not at all. Thank you.
How do you feel about all that?
Amused.
I'm not sure that I do.
Well, it's only funny, really.
Yes, but dangerous.
Are you frightened that my silly, fluffy little head will be turned?
No, not exactly, but it makes me uncomfortable, this snatching that goes on. Success is far more perilous than failure, isn't it? You've got to be doubly strong and watchful and wary.
Well, perhaps I shall survive.
Oh, you'll survive, all right, in the long run. I don't doubt that for a moment. It's me I was worrying about.
Why?
Not me alone. Us.
Oh, I see.
Maybe I'm jealous of you. I never thought of that.
Oh, darling, don't be silly.
Well, last year was bad enough. This is going to be far worse.
Why be scared?
Well, where do we go from here? That's what I want to know.
How would you feel about getting married?
It's not that, dear.
I know it isn't, but...
But what?
Well, it might be rather fun. We get a lot more presents now than if we'd done it before.
A very grand marriage. St. Margaret's Westminster?
Yes, with a tremendous do at Claridge's afterwards.
The honeymoon would be thrilling, wouldn't it? Just you and me alone, finding out about each other.
I'd be very gentle with you, very tender.
You'd better stop in the jaw if you were.
Oh, how vulgar, how inexpressibly vulgar.
It's an enjoyable idea to play with, though, isn't it?
Let's do it, Gilda.
No.
Why not?
It wouldn't do. Really, it wouldn't.
I think you're wrong.
I shouldn't feel cosy married. It would upset my moral principles.
Doesn't the eye of heaven mean anything to you?
Only when it winks.
Well, God knows it ought to wink enough at our marriage.
Also, there's another thing.
What?
Otto.
Otto?
Yes, I think he'd hate it. I wonder if he would. I believe so. I mean, there'd be no reason for him to, really, but I believe he would.
But if only he'd appear again, we could ask him.
He will, sooner or later. He can't go on being cross forever.
It's funny about Otto.
Screamingly funny.
Do you love him still?
Of course. Don't you?
Yes.
We couldn't not love Otto, really.
Could you live with him again?
No, I don't think so. That part of it's dead.
We were right, weren't we? Unconditionally right. Do you think he'll ever get over it enough for us all to be together again?
I don't want us all to be together again.
Damn.
Hello. Hello. No, I'm afraid he's out.
I feel suddenly irritated.
Why?
I don't know. Reaction, I expect, after the anxiety of the last few days. Now it's all over and everything seems rather blank. How happy are you, really?
Very, I think.
I don't work hard enough, not nearly hard enough. I've only done 4 houses for 4 silly women since we've been in England.
Well, Monica Jevon wants you to do hers the moment she comes back.
That'll make the 5th silly woman.
Well, she's not so particularly silly.
No, she's nice, really. Nicer than most of them, I suppose. Oh, dear.
Cigarette.
Ernest was right.
How do you mean? When?
Ages ago. He said my life was untidy, and it is untidy. At this moment, it's untidier than ever. Perhaps you're wise about our marrying. Perhaps it would be a good thing. I'm developing into one of those tedious, unoccupied women who batten on men and spoil everything for them. I'm spoiling the excitement of your success for you now by being tiresome and gloomy. No. Oh, I'll do it this time. Hello? Yes? Oh, yes, of course. How do you do? Yes, he's here. I'll call him. What? Oh, I'm sure he'd love to. That's terribly sweet of you, but I'm afraid I can't. No, I've got to go to Paris. No, only for a few days.
Who is it?
Mrs. Borrowdale. She wants it for the weekend. Here he is.
Hello, Marion. Yes. Wasn't it marvellous? I was terrified out of my seven senses. What? Well, I'm not sure.
Yes, you are. Quite sure.
Hold on 1 minute while I look at my book. What will you do if I go?
Commit suicide immediately. Don't be silly.
Why didn't you accept too? She asked you.
Because I don't want to go.
No, there isn't a thing down for Saturday. I'd love to come. Yes, that'll be grand. Goodbye. Why don't you want to come? She's awfully amusing. The house is lovely.
It's much better for you to go alone.
All right, have it your own way.
Oh, don't think I'm being tarsome again. There's a darling. I just couldn't make the effort. That's the honest-to-God reason. I'm no good at house parties. I never was.
Marion's house parties are different. You can do what you like. Nobody worries you.
I can never find what I like in other people's houses, and everybody worries me.
I suppose I must be more gregarious than you. I enjoy meeting new people.
I enjoy meeting new people, too, but not second-hand ones.
As I said before, Marion's house parties are extremely amusing. She doesn't like second-hand people, as you call them, any more than you do. Incidentally, she's a very intelligent woman herself and exceedingly good company.
I never said she wasn't intelligent, and I'm sure she's excellent company. She has to be. It's her job.
That was a cheap jibe. Thoroughly cheap.
This is a horrible morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You needn't be. It's not your fault.
Yes, it is, I'm afraid. I happen to have written a successful play.
Oh, really?
Well, it's true, isn't it? That's what's upsetting you.
Do you honestly think that?
I don't know. I don't know what to think. This looks like a row. Oh, we've had it before. Several times. And just lately more than ever. Hmm? It's inevitable that the more successful I become, the more people will run after me. I don't believe in their friendship, and I don't take them seriously, but I enjoy them. Probably a damn sight more than they enjoy me. I enjoy the whole thing. I've worked hard for it all my life. Let them all come. They'll drop me all right when they're tired of me, but maybe I shall get tired first.
I hope you will.
What does it matter, anyhow? It
matters a lot.
I don't see why.
They waste your time, these ridiculous celebrity hunters, and they sap your vitality.
Well, let them. I've got lots of time and lots of vitality.
That's bravado. You're far too much of an artist to mean that, really.
I'm far too much of an artist to be taken in by the old cliché of shutting out the world and living for my art alone. There's just as much bunk in that as there is at a cocktail party at the Ritz.
Something's gone. Don't you see?
Of course something's gone. Something always goes. The whole business of living is a process of readjustment. What are you mourning for? The dear old careless days of the Cartier Latin when life was life?
Oh, don't be such a fool.
Let's dress up poor and go back and pretend, shall we?
Why not? That at least would be definite disillusionment.
Oh, certainly it would. Standing over the skeletons of our past lives and trying to kick them to life again. That wouldn't be wasting time, would it?
We needn't go back or dress up poor in order to pretend. We can pretend here, among all this. With the trumpets blowing and the flags flying and the telephone ringing, we can still pretend. We can pretend that we're happy. Oh, I'm going to do a little shopping. Sorry, darling.
All right, sweet.
Oh. The evening of the following Saturday.
Oh, no.
Hello, Gilda.
Not true.
Here we are again.
What?
Are you pleased?
I don't quite know yet.
Make up your mind, there's a dear.
I'll try.
Where's Leo?
Away. He went away this afternoon.
This seems a very nice flat.
It is. You can see right across to the other side of the square on a clear day.
I've only just arrived.
Where from?
New York. I had an exhibition there.
Was it successful?
Oh, very, thank you.
I've decided quite definitely now. I'm ecstatically pleased to see you.
That's lovely.
Aren't you going to take off your hat and coat?
Don't you like them?
Enormously. It was foolish of me to ask whether your exhibition was successful. I can see it was. Your whole personality reeks of it.
I'm disappointed that Leo isn't here.
He'll be back on Monday.
Oh. How is he, please?
Awfully well.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear. I feel very funny. I feel a bit as if I were going to cry, and I don't want to cry a bit.
Let's both cry just a little.
Oh, darling, darling, Gilda.
Oh, no.
Oh. It's all right now, isn't it?
Mm. More than all right.
Oh, I was silly to stay away so long, wasn't I?
That was what Leo meant the other morning when he said he knew what was missing.
Me?
Of course.
I'm terribly glad you said that.
We were having a row, trying to find out why we weren't quite so happy as we should be.
Do you have many rows?
Quite a lot every now and then.
As many as we used to?
About the same. There's a bit of trouble on at the moment, really. He's getting too successful and sought after. I'm worried about him.
Oh, you needn't be. It won't touch him inside.
I'm afraid all the same. They're all so shrill and foolish, cracking at him.
I read about the play in the train. It's a riot, isn't it?
Capacity. Every performance.
Is it good?
Yes, I think so.
Only think so?
Three scenes are first rate, especially the last act. The beginning of the second act drags a bit, and most of the first act's too facile. You know what I mean. He flips along with the easy, swift dialogue, but doesn't go deep enough. It's all very well played.
We'll go on Monday night.
Will you stay, now that you've come back?
Oh, I expect so. It depends on Leo.
Oh.
Well, he may not want to.
I think he'll want you to, even more than I do.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. It came up suddenly like a hiccup.
I feel perfectly cozy about the whole business now, you know. I'm clear and clean. A newly washed lamb bleating for company. Did you decorate this room?
You know perfectly well I didn't.
Well, you should. Where's Leo gone exactly?
Oh, smart house party in Hampshire. Bridge, backgammon, several novelists, and a squash court that nobody uses.
Oh, the decoration of life. That's what that is.
Slightly out of drawing, but terribly amusing.
Oh, it won't last long, don't worry.
Tell me where you've been, please, and what you've seen, what you've done. Is your painting still good, or has it deteriorated just a little? I'm suspicious, you see, dreadfully suspicious of people liking things too much. Things that matter, I mean. There's too much enthusiasm for art going on nowadays. It smears out the highlights.
You're certainly in a state, aren't you?
Yes, I am, and it's getting worse.
Turbulent, downright turbulent.
Strange, isn't it? This going on where we left off.
Oh, not quite where we left off, thank God.
Wasn't it horrible?
Oh, I was tortured with regrets for a long while. I felt I ought to have knocked Leo down.
I'm awfully glad you didn't. He hates being knocked down.
Well, then, of course, he might have retaliated and knocked me down.
You're bigger than he is.
Now, he's more wiry. He once held me in the bath for 20 minutes while he poured cold water over me.
Yes, I know.
Oh, of course. That's what you were both laughing at when I came in that day, wasn't it?
Yes. It was very, very unfortunate.
An unkind trick of fate to have dropped it into your mind just then.
I made a picture, you see, an unbearably comic picture. We were both terribly strained and unhappy. Our nerves were stretched like elastic and that snapped it.
I think that upset me more than anything.
Oh, you might have known it wasn't you we were laughing at, not you yourself.
Oh, it's exactly 127 years ago today.
128.
We've grown up since then.
I do hope so, just a little.
I went away on a freight boat, you know. I went for thousands of miles, and I was very unhappy indeed.
And very seasick, I should think.
Only the first few days.
Not steadily.
As steady as one can be seasick.
Was it an English ship?
No, Norwegian. I can say, how do you do in Norwegian?
We must get to know some Norwegian people immediately, so that you can say, how do you do to them. Where are your pictures?
Oh, not unpatched yet. They're at the Carlton.
The Carlton? You haven't gone grand on me too, have you?
I have indeed. I've got several commissions to do portraits here in London. Very best people. I only paint the very best people.
They have such interesting faces, haven't they?
I don't paint their faces, Gilmer. Fourth dimensional, that's what I am. I paint their souls.
You'd have to be eighth dimensional and clairvoyant to find them.
I know what's wrong with you, my sweet. You're just the concentrated essence of love among the artists.
I think that was unkind.
If you were creative yourself, you'd understand better. As it is, you know a lot. You know an awful lot. Your critical faculty's first rate. But you're liable to get sidetracked if you're not careful. Life is for living, first and foremost. Even for artists, life's for living. Remember that.
You have grown up, haven't you?
Oh. In the beginning, when we were all in Paris, everything was really very much easier to manage, even our emotional problems. You picked on me to love a little bit more because I was the weaker. They were very happy those days. But don't be misled by them. Don't make the mistake of trying to recapture the spirit of them. That's dead. Along with our early loves and dreams and quarrels and all the rest of the foolishness.
I think I want to cry again.
Well, there's nothing like a good cry.
Oh, you can't blame me for hating success when it changes all the things I love best.
Things would have changed anyhow. It isn't only success that does it. It's time and experience and new circumstances.
Was it the Norwegians that taught you this still wisdom? They must be wonderful people.
No. I was alone. I just sat quietly and looked at everything.
I see. I see one thing very clearly.
What?
I'm not needed anymore.
I thought you were going to say that.
It's what you meant me to say, isn't it?
We shall always need each other. All three of us.
Nonsense. The survival of the fittest. That's what counts.
Hard words. Hard, cruel words.
You're so sure of yourself, aren't you? You're both so sure of yourselves, you and Leo. Oh, getting what you want must be terribly gratifying.
Oh, it is.
Do you remember how I used to rail and roar against being feminine?
Yes, dear. You were very noisy about the whole business.
I'm suddenly glad about it for the first time.
I think you've improved in looks, really, with the passing of the years.
Oh, sweet Otto, I'm so pleased.
Your skin, for instance. Your skin's much better.
It ought to be. I've been taking a lot of trouble with it.
What sort of trouble?
Oh, just having it pushed and rubbed and slapped about.
Oh, it's funny how much in love with you I was. What's happened to Ernest?
He's been away, too. A long way away. He went on a world cruise with a lot of old ladies in straw hats.
Dear little Ernest.
I saw him a few weeks ago. Then he went back to Paris.
An odd life. Sterile, don't you think?
You certainly emancipated yourself into a grand complacency.
If you're unkind to me, I shall go back to the Carlton.
Have you got a suite or just a common bedroom and bath?
Darling, I do love you so very much.
A nice, comfortable love without heartthrobs.
Are you trying to lure me to your wanton bed?
What would you do if I did?
Probably enjoy it very much.
I doubt if I should.
Have I changed so dreadfully?
It isn't you that's changed. It's time and experience and new circumstances. Love among the artists.
Oh, love among anybody.
Perhaps not love exactly. Something a little below it and a little above it, but something terribly strong.
Meaning this?
Of course. What else?
We should have principles to hang on to, you know. This floating about without principles is so very dangerous.
Life is for living.
Now, you accuse me of being too sure. It's you who are sure now.
Sure of what?
Sure that I want you.
Don't you?
Of course I do.
Keep away, then, a minute. And let me look at you all over again.
I used to sit on the top deck of that freighter and shut my eyes and see you standing there. Just like you are now.
Good old romance. Bobbing up again and wrapping up our crudities in a few veils.
Oh, shut up. Don't talk like that.
I'm not nearly so afraid as you are.
You haven't got so much to lose.
How do you know? You've forgotten everything about me, the real me. That dim figure you conjured up under your damn tropic stars was an illusion, a misty ghost, scratched out of a few memories, inaccurate, untrue, nothing to do with me in any way. This is me now. Take a good look and see if you can tell what I have to lose in the game or to win either. Perhaps you can tell that too, can you? Can you?
You look so terribly sweet when you're angry.
Another illusion. I'm not sweet.
Oh, those were only love words. You mustn't be so crushy. How are we to conduct this revivalist meeting without love words?
Let's keep them under control.
Oh. You worked yourself up into a frenzy of sophistication. You've decided on being calculating and disillusioned and brazen, and even slightly coarse over the affair. Well, that's all very well. But how long is it going to last? That's what I ask myself. How long is it going to last, this old wanton mood of yours?
Don't laugh at me.
Oh, I must, a little.
It's an unfair advantage. You've both got it, and you both use it against me mercilessly. What are we going to do about Leo?
Wait and see what he's going to do about us.
Haven't you got any shame at all?
Just about as much as you have.
Oh, the whole thing's degrading, completely and utterly degrading.
Only when measured up against other people's standards.
Why should we flatter ourselves that we're so tremendously different?
Flattery doesn't enter into it. We are different. Our lives are diametrically opposed to ordinary social conventions, and it's no use grabbing at those conventions to hold us up when we find we're in deep water.
Very glib. Very glib indeed, and very plausible.
No, it's true. There's no sense in scamping about and saying how degrading it all is. Of course it's degrading. According to a certain code, the whole situation's degrading and always has been. The Methodists wouldn't approve of us. The Catholics wouldn't either, and the Evangelists, and the Episcopalians, and the Anglicans, and the Christian Scientists. I don't even suppose the Polynesian Islanders would think very highly of us, but they wouldn't mind quite so much being so far away. No, the whole point is it's none of their business. We're not doing any harm to anyone else. It's no use you trying to decide which you love best, Leo or me, because you don't know. A gay, ironic chance threw the three of us together and tied our lives into a tight knot at the outset.
Come off your soapbox and stop ranting.
I want to make love to you very badly indeed, please. I've been lonely for a long time without you, and now I've come back, and I'm not going to be lonely any more. Believe me, loneliness is a mug's game.
The whole thing's a mug's game.
You're infinitely lovely to me, darling. And so very necessary. The circle has swung round, and it's my turn again. Well, that's only fair, isn't it?
I suppose so.
If you didn't want me, it'd be different. But you do, my dearest dear. I can see it in your eyes. You want me every bit as much as I want you.
Yes, every bit.
Oh, this is a moment to remember, all right. Scribble it onto your heart. A flicker of ecstasy, sandwiched between yesterday and tomorrow. Something to be recaptured in the future without illusion. Perfect in itself. Don't let's forget this. Whatever else happens, don't let's forget this.
How easy it all seems in this light.
Vordanstor, de Thiel.
What's that, darling?
How do you do? In Norwegian.
Sunday morning.
Yes, last night. There's been a slight argument going on for weeks.
Argument? What kind of argument?
One of those Holbein arguments.
Somebody said it wasn't, I suppose.
Yes, that's it.
Was it?
In my humble opinion, yes.
Did your humble opinion settle it?
I hope so.
Admirable. Quiet, sure, perfect conviction. Absolutely admirable.
Thank you, Gilda. Don't imagine that the irony in your tone escaped me.
That wasn't irony. It was envy.
It's high time you stopped envying me.
I don't think I ever shall.
How's Leo?
Not very well.
What's wrong with him?
Tummy. He's had an awful night. He didn't close an eye until about 5. But he's fast asleep now.
I'm sorry. I wanted to say goodbye to you both.
Goodbye?
I'm going back to Paris this afternoon and sailing for America on Wednesday.
Oh, you do flip about, don't you, Ernest?
Not anymore. I've decided to live in New York permanently. I've been angling for a particular penthouse for years, and now I've got it.
How lovely. Is it very high?
About 30 floors.
Do you want a housekeeper?
Yes, badly. Will you come?
Perhaps.
You seem very gay this morning.
I'm always gay on Sundays. There's something intoxicating about Sunday in London.
It's excellent about the play. I've read all the reviews.
Yes, it's grand. It ought to run for years and years and years and years and years.
I suppose Leo's delighted.
Absolutely hysterical. I think that's what upset his stomach. He was always oversensitive, you know. Even in Paris in the old days, he used to roll about in agony at the least encouragement. Don't you remember?
No, I can't say that I do.
That's because you're getting a bit gaga, darling. You've sold too many pictures and made too much money and travelled too much. That world cruise was a fatal mistake. I thought so at the time, but I didn't say anything about it because I didn't want to upset you. But going round in a troupe with all those chatty old girls must have been very, very bad for you. I expected every day to get a wire from somewhere or other saying you died of something or other.
Do stop. You're making me giddy.
Have you like a little sherry?
No, thank you.
It's very good sherry. Dry as a bone.
You seem to me to be in a very strange mood, Gilda.
I've never felt better in my life. Ups and downs. My life is one long convulsive sequence of ups and downs. This is an up. At least, I think it is.
I'm sure it's not nervous collapse.
I never thought of that. It's a very good idea. I shall have a nervous collapse.
Will you ever change, I wonder? Will you ever change into a quieter, more rational person?
Why should I?
What's wrong now?
Wrong? What could be wrong? Everything's right. Righter than it's ever been before. God's in his heaven. All's right with the world. I always thought that was a remarkably silly statement, didn't you?
Unreasoning optimism is always slightly silly, but it's a great comfort to at least 3/4 of the human race.
The human race is a letdown, Ernest, a bad, bad letdown. I'm disgusted with it. Oh, we've invented a few small things that make noises, but we haven't invented one big thing that creates quiet, endless, peaceful quiet.
I think perhaps I would like a glass of sherry after all.
It's all right, Ernest, don't be frightened. You're always a safety valve for me. I think during the last few years I've screamed at you more than anyone else in the world. Oh, here it is.
That's brandy.
Here it is. How stupid of me. Here you are.
I'm not sure that I find it very comfortable being a safety valve.
It's the penalty you pay for being sweet and sympathetic and very old indeed.
I'm not very old indeed.
Only in wisdom and experience, darling. Here's to you, Ernest. And me too.
Now then.
Now then what?
Out with it.
take my advice, my dear. Run like a stag. Be fleet of foot. Beat it.
Why?
I'm a lone woman. I'm unattached. I'm free.
Oh, are you really?
I'm cured. I'm not a prisoner anymore. I've let myself out. This is a day of great exaltation for me.
I'm sure I'm delighted to hear it.
I'm not needed anymore. I'm going.
Where are you going?
I haven't the faintest idea. The world is wide, far, wide and round, too. I can scamper round and round it like a white rat in a cage.
That'll be very tiring.
Not so tiring as staying still. At least I might preserve the illusion that I'm getting somewhere.
Have you had a row with Leo?
No, I haven't had a row with anyone. I've just seen the light suddenly. I saw it last night. The survival of the fittest. That's the light, didn't you know?
I think perhaps I should understand better if you spoke in Russian.
Or Norwegian. There's a fascinating language for you.
I believe there's a very nice nursing home in Manchester Street.
You, see this note?
Yeah.
For Leo.
To read when he wakes up?
Yes, if he ever wakes up.
You haven't poisoned him, have you?
No, but he's nearly poisoned me. An insidious, dreary sort of poison, a lymphatic poison, turning me slowly into a cow.
Oh, my poor Gilda.
I expect you think I'm being overdramatic.
Not any more than usual.
Well, I'm not. I'm perfectly calm inside. Cold as steel.
Can one be exalted and cold as steel at the same time?
I can. It can be lots of things at the same time. It becomes a great bore after a while. In the future, I intend to be only one thing.
That being?
Myself, Ernest. My unadulterated self. Myself without hangings, without trimmings, unencumbered by the winding tendrils of other people's demands.
That is very nicely put.
Oh, you can laugh at me as much as you like. I give everybody free permission to laugh at me. I can laugh at myself, too, now. Huh? For the first time. And enjoy it.
Can you?
Yes, isn't it lovely?
I congratulate you.
I'm glad you suddenly appeared this morning to say goodbye. Very appropriate. The day of goodbyes. The air's thick with them.
Are you really serious? Are you really going?
I've never been more serious in my life. Of course I'm going. I've got to learn a few things while there's still time. Who knows? I might even learn to be an artist. Just think of that. And even if I can't quite achieve such splendor, there are other lessons for me. There's the lesson of paddling my own canoe, for instance, not just weighing down somebody else's and imagining I'm steering it.
Oh, I see. I see it all now.
No, you don't. Not all. Just a little, perhaps, but not all.
Where are you going, really?
First, to a hotel, to make a few plans.
Oh, you can take over my room at the Carlton, if you like. I'm leaving today.
The Carlton? Oh, no, Ernest, not the Carlton.
Why? What's the matter with it?
Oh, it's too big and pink and grand for me. I want a decayed hotel. Gentle and sad and a little bit under the weather.
And afterwards?
Paris. No, not Paris. Berlin. I'm very attached to Berlin.
Are you sure you're wise? This is rather, well, rather drastic, isn't it?
I'm quite sure.
I won't try to dissuade you, then.
No, don't. It wouldn't do any good. I'm quite determined.
I have an instinctive distrust of sudden impulses.
I'll fool you yet. I'll make you eat your damn scepticism.
Sorry.
Goodbye, Ernest. I'm going now.
You'll be very lonely. Aren't you afraid?
I can bear it. I've been lonely before.
Not for a long while.
Recently. Quite recently. Loneliness doesn't necessarily mean being by yourself.
Very well, dear.
Oh, you're very tender and very kind, and I'm tremendously grateful to you. Come on, let's go.
Well, haven't you got any bags or anything?
I've packed a dressing case with all my immediate wants. I shall get everything else new, brand new. I'll drop you off at the Carlton and take your taxi on.
Is Leo asleep?
Fast asleep. Come on. Oh, just a moment, I've forgotten something.
Gilda? Gilda, where are you?
Hello, darling. I couldn't bear it anymore, so I've
come back.
Hello, Leo.
You?
Yes. I couldn't bear it any longer either, so I've come back.
Where have you come from?
New York.
When? When did you arrive?
Last night.
Why aren't you dressed?
Why, then you just got up.
You stayed here?
Yes.
With Gilda?
Yes.
I see.
It wouldn't be any use lying about it, would it? Pretending I didn't.
No use at all.
I'm not even sorry, Leo, except for hurting you.
Where is Gilda?
She's gone out.
Out? Why? Where's she gone to?
I don't know.
How vile of you. How unspeakably vile of you both.
It was inevitable.
Inevitable.
I arrived unexpectedly. You were away. Gilda was alone. I love her. I've always loved her. I've never stopped for a minute, and she loves me, too.
What about me?
I told you I was sorry about hurting you.
Gilda loves me.
I never said she didn't.
Oh, what are we to do? What are we to do now?
Do you know, I really haven't the faintest idea.
You're laughing inside. You're thoroughly damned well pleased with yourself, aren't you?
I don't know. I don't know that either.
You are. I can see it in your eyes. So much triumph. So much sweet revenge.
Oh, it wasn't anything to do with revenge.
It was. Of course it was.
Secretly thought out, planned for ages, infinitely mean.
Oh, shut up and don't talk such nonsense. Well, why did you do it then? Why did you come back and break everything up for me?
I came back to see you both. It was a surprise. A rather cruel surprise and brilliantly successful. You should be very happy.
Should I? Perhaps I should be happy too. You've set me free from something.
What?
The feeling I had for you. Something very deep, I imagined it was. It couldn't have been, could it? Now that it's died so easily.
I said all that to you in Paris, do you remember? I thought it was true then, just as you think it's true now.
It is true.
Oh, no, it is.
Do you honestly believe I could ever look at you again as a real friend?
Until the day you die.
Oh, shut up. It's too utterly beastly, the whole thing.
Well, it's certainly very, very uncomfortable.
Is Gilda going to leave me to go away with you?
Do you want her to?
Yes. I suppose so, now.
We didn't make any arrangement or plan.
Well, I came back too soon. You could have gone away and left a note for me. That would have been nice and easy for you, wouldn't it?
Oh, perhaps it would, really. I don't think I should have done it, though.
Why not?
Well, if I had, I shouldn't have seen you at all. And I wanted to see you very much.
You even wanted to see me hating you like this? Very touching.
Oh, you're not hating me nearly as much as you think you are. You're hating the situation. That's quite different.
You flatter yourself.
No one of us is more to blame than the other. We've made our own circumstances, you and Gilda and me. We've bloody well got to put up with them.
Oh, I wish I could aspire to such a sublime God's eye view.
You will, in time. Your asses have calmed down.
I'd like so very much not to be able to feel anything at all for a little. I'm desperately tired.
You want a change?
It seems as if I'm going to get one, whether I want it or not.
Oh. Oh, Leo. You really are very, very tender.
Don't laugh. How dare you laugh? How can you laugh?
It's a good joke. A magnificent joke.
A pity Gilda chose just that moment to go out. We could all have enjoyed it together.
What, like we did before?
Yes, like we did before.
And like we shall again?
No, never again, never.
I wonder.
Otto?
Hmm? What is it?
Oh.
From Gilda.
Of course. We'd better open them, I suppose.
Yes. Yes, I suppose we had.
What does yours say?
Goodbye, my clever little dear. Thank you for the keys of the city.
Well, that's what mine says.
I wonder where she's gone.
I don't see that it matters very much.
Oh. One up to Gilda.
What does she mean, keys of the city?
A lot of things.
I feel rather sick.
Have some sherry?
No, that's brandy.
Oh, better still.
Thank you.
I feel rather sick, too.
Do you think she'll come back?
No.
She will. She must.
She must come back.
She won't.
Not for a long time.
It's all my fault, really.
Is it?
Yes, I've unfortunately turned out to be successful, and Gilda doesn't care for successful people.
I wonder how much we've lost with the years.
A lot, I think. Practically everything now.
Love among the artists. Very difficult. Too difficult.
Do you think we could find her?
Oh, what good would that do? We know why she's gone perfectly well. No,
because she doesn't want us anymore.
Because she thinks she doesn't want us anymore.
Well, I suppose that's as good a reason as any.
Quite.
All the same, I should like to see her just once, just to find out, really, in so many words.
Oh, so many words! That's what's wrong with us! So many words! Too many words! Masses and masses of words spewed about until we're choked with them. I'm sick of this endless game of three-handed spiritual ping-pong. This battling of our little egos in one another's faces. Sick to death of it.
Gilda's made a supreme gesture and got out. Good luck to her, I say. Good luck to the old girl. She knows her onions.
You'll get drunk spilling down all that brandy on an empty stomach.
Why not? What else is there to do? Here, have some more as well.
All right. Here goes. Now we start fair. Gilda.
Gilda. Oh, that's better, isn't it? Much, much better.
Excellent. We should be sick as dogs.
Good for our livers.
Good for our immortal souls.
Our immortal souls. Our immortal souls.
Mm. I might have known it.
What?
That there was going to be a break. Everything was running too smoothly, too well. I was enjoying all the small things too much.
Well, there's no harm in enjoying the small things.
Gilda didn't want me to.
I know.
Well, did she tell you, sir?
Yes, she said she was uneasy.
But she might have had a little faith in me. I think I hadn't got this far just to be sidetracked by a few garlands.
Well, that's what I said to her. I said you wouldn't be touched inside.
How about you?
Well, catching up, Leo. Popular portraits at popular prices.
Good work or bad work?
Good. An occasional compromise, but essentials all right.
Let's make the most of the whole business, shall we?
Let's be photographed and interviewed and pointed at in restaurants. Let's play the game for what it's worth. Secretaries and fur coats and deluxe suites on transatlantic liners at minimum rates. Come on, my boy. Success in 20 lessons, each one more bitter than the last. More and better success. Louder and funnier success.
It takes the breath away a bit, doesn't it? How astonished our insides must be, all that brandy hurtling down suddenly.
On Sunday, too.
We ought to know more about our insides, Otto. We ought to know why everything does everything.
Oh, machines, that's what we are, really, all of us. I can't help feeling a little discouraged about it every now and then.
You are sheer sentimentality. You shouldn't feel discouraged at all, you should be proud. The time for dreaming is over, Otto.
Never. I'll never consent to that. Never as long as I live. How do you know that science isn't a dream, too? A monstrous, gigantic hoax.
Oh, how could it be? It proves everything.
What does it prove? Answer me that.
Don't be silly, Otto. You must try not to be silly.
A few facts, that's all. A few tawdry facts. Torn from the universe and dressed up in terminological abstraction.
We've wallowed in false mysticism for centuries. We've fought and suffered and died for foolish beliefs which science has proved to be as ephemeral as smoke. Now is the moment to open our eyes fearlessly and look at the truth.
Well, what is the truth?
Oh, it's no use talking to you. You just won't try to grasp anything. You're content to go on being a romantic clod until the end of your days.
Oh, and what about you? What about the plays you write? Turgid with romance, sodden with true love, rotten with nostalgia.
Well, there's no necessity to be rude about my work. That's quite separate and completely beside the point.
Well, it oughtn't to be. If you're a writer, it's your duty to write what you think. If you don't, you're a cheat. A cheat and a hypocrite.
Impartial discussion's one thing, Otto. Personal bickering is another. I think you should learn to distinguish between the two.
Let's have some more brandy.
That would be completely idiotic.
Well, let's be completely idiotic.
Very well.
There's a certain furtive delight in doing something consciously that you know perfectly well is thoroughly contemptible.
There is indeed.
There isn't much more left. Shall we finish it?
Certainly.
Now what?
Now what?
What do you keep on saying what? It sounds ridiculous.
I want to know what you meant by now what?
Now what? Shall we drink to?
Let's not drink to anything. Let's just drink.
Oh, all right. Beautiful. If Gilda came in now, she'd be surprised, all right, wouldn't she?
She'd be so surprised, she'd fall right over backwards.
So should we.
Oh, dear. How very silly, how very, very silly.
She'll never come back, never.
Yes, she will. When we're very, very old, she'll suddenly come in a bath chair.
Damn fool.
Who's a damn fool?
You are, so am I, we both are. We were both damn fools in the first place ever to have anything to do with her.
You're awfully strong, Otto. Much, much stronger than you used to be.
I've been all over the world. I've roughed it. That's what's made me strong. Every man ought to rough it.
Now, it's the trouble with civilized life. It makes you soft. I've been thinking that for a long time. I've been watching myself getting softer and softer and softer. It's awful.
Oh, you'd soon be all right. You've got away from all this muck.
Yes, I know, but how?
Get on a ship, Leo. Never mind where it's going. Just get on a ship. A small ship.
How small?
Very small indeed. Freighter.
Is that what you did?
Yes.
Then I will. Where do very small ships go from?
Oh, everywhere. Tilbury, Hamburg, Havre. I'm free. I've suddenly realized it. I am free. So am I.
Hey, we ought to drink to that, Otto. Yes. Something worth drinking to. Freedom's been lost to us for a long, long time, and now we have found it again. Freedom from people and things and softness. We really ought to drink to it.
Yes.
There isn't any more brandy.
What is that over there?
Where?
On that thing.
Sherry.
Well, what's the matter with sherry? All right. Freedom. Freedom.
It's very insipid.
Tastes like brown paper.
I've never tasted brown paper.
Neither have I.
Sherry.
It's a very ludicrous word, isn't it? When you begin to analyse it.
Well, any word's ludicrous if you stare at it long enough. Look at macaroni.
Oh, that's Italian. That doesn't count.
Well, rigmarole, then. And neophyte and haddock.
And wimple. Wimple's the word that gets me down.
What is a wimple?
A sort of medieval megaphone made of linen. Guinevere had one.
What did she do with it?
Wore it, of course. What did you think she did with it?
Well, she might have blown down it.
Anyhow, it doesn't matter, does it?
No, not in the least. It couldn't matter less. I always thought Guinevere was tedious. Wimple or no wimple.
I'm beginning to float a little, aren't you?
Just leaving the ground. Give me time. I'm just leaving the ground.
You better have some more sherry.
I'm afraid this isn't very good sherry.
It ought to be good. It is real old Amontillado.
Ah, well, perhaps we haven't given it a fair chance.
Après moi, le déluge.
Après both of us, the deluge.
I think I shall sit down now. I'm so terribly sick of standing up.
Human beings were never meant to stand up in the first place. It's all been a grave mistake.
All what?
All this stamping about.
I feel ever so much happier. I don't feel angry with you. Or with Gilda, or with anybody. I feel sort of at peace, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I know.
Keys of the city, indeed.
What a damn nonsense.
Too much sense of drama flouncing off like that.
We've all got too much sense of drama. But we won't have any more. From now onwards, it's reason and realism and clarity of vision.
What?
I said clarity of vision.
I wouldn't have believed I could ever feel like this again. So still and calm, like a deep, deep pool.
Me too. A deep pool, surrounded with cool, green rushes, with the wind rustling through them.
Will you forgive me for everything?
Yes, I should ask you that.
I'm glad Gilda's gone, really. She was very wearisome at some time. I shall miss her, though.
We shall both miss her.
She's the only really intelligent woman I've ever known.
Oh, brilliant.
She's done a tremendous lot for us, Otto. I wonder how much we should have achieved without her.
Very little, I'm afraid. Terribly little.
And now she's gone because she doesn't want us anymore.
I think she thinks we don't want her anymore.
But we do. Otto, we do.
Oh, we shall always want her. Always, always, always.
We shall get over it in time, I expect. It will take years.
I'm going to hate those years. I'm going to hate every minute of them.
So am I.
Oh, thank God for each other, anyhow.
That's true. We'll get along somehow.
Yes.
Together.
Together. But we're going to be awfully, awfully lonely.
Ha ha ha.
2 years later, Ernest Friedman's penthouse apartment in New York.
Who'd like a highball?
Oh, we all would. We all need it.
People are wrong when they say that the opera isn't what it used to be. It is what it used to be. That's what's wrong with it.
Never again.
Is there enough ice there, Henry?
Yes, Pete.
This is the most wonderful view I've ever seen.
Next to ours.
I like this better. You can see more of the river.
You did all this, I suppose, Gilda?
Not all of it. Just a few extras. Ernest laid the foundation.
When's he coming back?
Tomorrow.
Oh, it's lovely.
I'd forgotten you hadn't been here before.
No.
Here, Grace.
Oh, thanks.
Gilda.
Thanks, Henry.
Helen, do you want yours out there?
No, I'll come in for it.
Where did you get this beautiful chair?
Italy. We were motoring to Siena, and we stopped at a little village for lunch, and there it was, just waiting to be grabbed.
You ought to open a shop. With your reputation, you'd make a packet.
This is my shop, really. I make quite enough one way and another.
But the things in this room aren't for sale, are they?
All except the pictures. Those are Ernest's.
Then they're for sale.
Perhaps. At a price.
And, oh, boy, what a price. What was the name of that one he sold, Dad?
I don't think it had a name.
The name of the artist, I mean.
Matisse.
Well, all I can say is it ought to have been a double Matisse for that money.
Well, $11,000, wasn't it?
It was.
Your father was very lucky, but then he always has been, hasn't he?
Bow, Henry. Or fall down dead, one or the other.
Do you want to see over the rest of it, Grace?
I do indeed. I'm taking mental notes, and if any of them come out right, I'll send you a handsome gift.
Terrace first. Very nice line in balcony furniture. Swing chairs, striped awnings, scrubs and...
I'd rather die than go near the terrace. Makes me giddy from here.
Oh, I love being high up.
Oh, so do I. The higher, the better.
What floor is this?
30th.
One day there'll be an earthquake in this city, then all you high livers will come tumbling down.
Oh, in that case, I'd rather be here than on the ground.
Come and see the bedrooms.
Higher still?
Yes, higher still. You two will be all right, won't you?
Of course.
Sure. Help yourself to another drink, Henry.
Thanks, I will. Do you want another?
I haven't finished this one yet.
Promise me one thing, Helen.
What?
That you'll never become a professional decorator.
Why?
I've never met one yet that wasn't as hard as nails, and my God, I've met hundreds.
Do you really think Gilda only got Grace up here to sell her something?
I do.
Oh, Henry.
Why, don't you?
Well, no, of course I don't. Well, they've got a lot of money. They don't need to go on like that.
That's how they made the money. Ernest's been palming off pictures on people for years.
Well, I don't see why he shouldn't if they're willing to buy them. After all, everybody sells something. I mean, it's...
Oh, don't they keep any servants?
I expect they've gone to bed.
Well, I'd better answer the door, I suppose.
Yes, I think you had.
Mrs. Friedman?
Mrs. Friedman's upstairs. I'll call her.
No, don't trouble to do that. She'll be down soon, won't she?
Yes, she's only showing Mrs. Torrance over the apartment.
Torrance? Torrance? How very odd. I wonder if that's the same Mrs. Torrance we met in the Yoshiwara.
Very possibly. This is my wife, Mrs. Carver. I'm afraid I don't know your name.
My name is Mercure.
How do you do, Mr. Mercure?
And mine is Silvers.
How do you do, Mr. Silvers?
How do you do, Mr. Carver?
How do you do, Mr. Carver?
Would you care for a drink?
Passionately.
They're over there. Help yourself.
Are you old friends of Mrs. Friedman?
Oh, yes. We lived with her for years.
Here's to you, Mr. and Mrs. Carver.
Mr. and Mrs. Carver.
Here's luck.
Have you been married long?
2 years.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Why?
What of it? Oh, there's something strangely and deeply moving about young love. Mr. and Mrs. Carver.
Youth at the helm.
Guiding the little fragile bark of happiness down the river of life.
I really don't understand what you mean.
You've been to Chuquicamata, I suppose.
Where?
Chuquicamata. It's a copper mine in Chile.
No, we haven't. Why?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's most unimportant.
Well, why do you ask?
Well, please, don't say any more about it. It's perfectly all right.
But what are you talking about?
Chuquicamata.
A copper mine in Chile.
It's a very funny name.
Do you think so?
Is it interesting, this place?
Oh, I really don't remember. I haven't been there since I was 2.
I've never been there at all.
Oh.
Is Mrs. Torrance a nice woman?
Nice? Yes, very nice.
I'm so glad.
One can't be too careful, you know. People are so deceptive.
It's all a question of masks, really. Brittle painted masks.
We all wear them as a form of protection. Well, modern life forces us to. We must have some means of shielding our timid, shrinking souls from the glare of civilization.
Oh, be careful, Leo. Remember how you upset yourself in Mombasa.
No, that was fish.
And the terrace is lovely in the summer, but as it goes right down, there's always somewhere cool to sit. Hello.
Hello, Gilda.
We've come back.
Yes. Yes, I see you have. This is Mrs. Torrance. Grace, these are two old friends of mine, Leo McClure and Otto Silvers.
Oh, how do you do?
You must forgive our evening clothes, but we've just come off a freight boat.
A Dutch freight boat. The food was delicious.
I see you both have drinks. Henry, mix me one, will you?
Certainly.
This is the most delightful surprise. Do you know I haven't seen either of them for nearly 2 years?
Oh. Gilda has been showing me this perfect, glorious apartment. Don't you think it's lovely?
Artistically too careful, but professionally superb.
Behave yourself, Otto.
Where's darling little Ernest?
Chicago.
Here's your drink, Gilda.
Thank you.
Where did you come from on your freight boat, Mr. McCure?
Manila. It was very hot in Manila.
It was also very hot in Singapore.
It always is, I believe.
It was cooler in Hong Kong, and in Vladivostok, it was downright cold.
We had to wear mittens.
Was always a pleasure trip?
Life is a pleasure trip, Mrs. Carver. A cheap excursion.
That was very beautifully put, Leo. I shall always remember it.
Oh, well. Life certainly hasn't been a cheap excursion for me. Every day it gets more and more expensive. Everyone here has had the most dreadful winter. I was in Europe, of course, but they were feeling it there, too, very badly. Paris, particularly. Paris seemed to have lost its vitality. It used to be much more gay, somehow.
I once had a flat in Paris. It was really more a studio than a flat. But I had to leave.
Oh, they pulled it down, I suppose. They're pulling down everything in Paris now.
They pulled it down to the ground. It was a small edifice and crumbled easily.
It's sad, isn't it? To think of places where one has lived not being there anymore.
I remember a friend of mine called Mrs. Purdy being very upset once when her house in Dorset fell into the sea.
Oh, how terrible.
Fortunately, Mr. Purdy happened to be in it at the time.
Don't talk nonsense. They both talk the most absurd nonsense they always have, ever since I've known them. You mustn't pay any attention to them.
Oh, don't undermine our social poise, Gilda. You, who have so much.
Have you written any new plays, Leo? Have you painted any new pictures, Otto? You must both come to lunch one day and tell me all about yourselves.
That would be delightful, just the three of us. Should old acquaintance be forgotten?
Close harmony.
You'll have to forgive me if I'm not quite as helpful to you as I used to be. My critical faculties aren't as strong as they once were. I've grown away, you see.
How far have you grown away, my dear love? How lonely are you in your little box so high above the arena? Don't you ever feel that you want to come down in the cheap seats again, nearer to the blood and the sand and the warm smells, nearer to life and death?
You've changed, Leo. You used to be more subtle.
You've changed, too. But we expected that.
Yeah, it's funny how people alter. Only the other day in the colony, a boy that I used to know when he was at Yale walked up to my table and I didn't recognize him.
Just fancy. Do you know, I have an excellent memory for names, but I cannot for the life of me remember faces. Sometimes I look at Leo suddenly and haven't the faintest idea who he is.
I can remember things, though, very clearly, and past conversations and small, trivial incidents. Some trick of the light, some slight movement, can cause a whole flock of irrelevant memories to tumble into my mind. Just unattached fragments, which might have been significant once, but which don't seem to mean anything anymore. Trees in a quiet London square, for instance. A green evening dress with earrings to match. Two notes propped up against a brandy bottle. Odd, isn't it?
Not particularly odd. The usual litter of an over-sentimental mind.
Be careful, Gilda. An ugly brawl is imminent.
I'm not afraid.
That's brave. When you have so much to lose.
Is that a threat?
We've come back. That should be threat enough.
There now. That's what happens when ghosts get into the house. They try to frighten you with their beckoning fingers and clanking chains, not knowing that they're dead and unable to harm you anymore. That's why one should never be scared of them, only sorry for them. Poor little ghosts. It must be so uncomfortable, wandering through empty passages, feeling they're not wanted very much.
You see, Gilda can talk nonsense, too.
Oh, that wasn't nonsense, Leo. That was a flight of fancy, tinged with the macabre and reeking with allegory. A truly remarkable achievement.
This really is the most extraordinary conversation I've ever heard.
Fascinating, though, don't you think? Fascinating to lift the roof's attraction, and look down into the houses?
Not when the people inside know you're looking. Not when they're acting for you and strutting about and showing off.
How does it feel to be so secure, Gilda? Tell us about it.
Another drink, Henry?
No, thanks.
We really ought to be going now.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm going too, Gilda. Can I drop anybody?
No, thanks. Our car's outside.
Good night, Mr. McHugh.
Good night.
Good night, Mr. Silvers. Can I drop you anywhere?
No, thank you. We're staying a little longer.
No, go now, Otto, please. Both of you, go with Grace. I'm terribly tired. You can telephone me first thing in the morning.
We want to talk to you.
I know you do. But I tell you, I'm tired. Dreadfully tired. I've had a very hard day.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Come on, Henry. Good night, Gilda, darling. It's been a lovely evening.
My car's there if you're coming now. Good night, Gilda. Ring for the elevator, Henry.
It was awful of you to behave like that. Why couldn't you have waited quietly till they'd gone?
They wouldn't go. They were going to stay forever and ever and ever.
Go now, both of you. Go with Grace. She'll gossip all over the town if you don't. Yes, the key. Come back in 10 minutes.
Intrigue, eh? A nice state of affairs. Good old Decameron.
Go on, quickly. Get a taxi straight back.
The next morning.
Good morning, Ernest.
God bless my soul.
He will, Ernest. He couldn't fail to.
Where in heaven's name have you come from?
Manila.
It was very hot in Manila.
Aren't you pleased to see us?
Have you been staying here?
Of course. Since when?
Last night.
Where did you sleep?
Upstairs.
What? Where's Gilda?
We don't know. She's disappeared.
Disappeared? What on earth do you mean?
What I say, she's disappeared.
Disappeared. Gone. She fluttered out into the night like a silly great owl.
When we arrived, she was entertaining a few smart friends, and she pressed a latch key into our hands and told us to come back later. And when we came back later, she wasn't here. So we waited a little while, and then we went to bed.
We were very tired.
It's fantastic. The whole thing. Ridiculous.
Oh, I do hope you're not going to be disagreeable, Ernest. After all, you haven't seen us for ages.
Disagreeable? What do you expect me to be? I arrive home after 20 hours in the train to find Gilda gone and you both staying in the house uninvited and wearing my pyjamas.
Oh, we'll take them off at once if you like.
You won't do any such thing. Had you warned Gilda that you were coming?
No. We just arrived. It was a surprise.
Well, what do you want?
Why do you ask that?
I want to know. Why have you come? Well, what do you want?
We want Gilda, of course.
Have you gone out of your mind?
Not at all. It's quite natural. We've always wanted Gilda.
Are you aware that she is my wife?
Oh, don't be so silly, Ernest.
Silly? How dare you?
Now, you're a dear old pet, Ernest, and we're very, very fond of you. And we know perfectly well that Gilda could be married to you 50 times and still not be your wife.
So do stop saying my wife in that complacent way, Ernest. It's absurd.
We know entirely why you married Gilda, and if we'd both been dead, it would have been an exceedingly good arrangement.
You are dead, as far as she's concerned.
Oh, no, we're not. We are very much alive.
I fear your marriage is on the rocks, Ernest. This is one of the most superb exhibitions of brazen impertinence I've ever encountered.
It's inconvenient. Mm. I do see that. It may quite possibly inconvenience you very much.
But no more than that, and you know it as well as we do.
Aren't you taking rather a lot for granted?
Only what we know.
I won't lose my temper with you because that would be foolish.
And ineffective.
But I think you had better put on whatever clothes you came in and go away. You can come back later. And you're in a more reasonable frame of mind.
We're in a perfectly reasonable frame of mind, Ernest. We've never been more reasonable in our lives, nor more serenely determined.
Now, look here, you two. I married Gilda because she was alone and because for many, many years I have been deeply attached to her. I know exactly how much she loved you both, and also, I'm afraid, exactly how little you both loved her. You practically ruined her life between you, and you caused her great unhappiness with your egotistical, casual passions. Now you can leave her alone. She's worked hard and made a reputation for herself. Her life is fully occupied, and she is completely contented.
Admirable, Ernest, admirable, but not strictly accurate. We love her more than anyone else in the world, and always shall. She caused us just as much unhappiness in the past as we ever caused her, and although she may have worked hard, and although her life is so fully occupied, she is far from being contented. We saw her last night, and we know
she could never be content without us, because she belongs to us just as much as we belong to her.
She ran away from you.
She'll come back.
She has come back.
Oh, this is insupportable.
Peculiar and complicated, I grant you, and rather exciting, but not insupportable.
This is all very awkward, isn't it? I'm so sorry. The very first minute you get home, too, it's a shame. Did you both stay here all night?
Yes, we did.
I wondered if you would.
Why did you sneak off like that?
I should have thought the reason was obvious enough.
It was very weak of you.
Not at all. I wanted time to think. Now then.
Now then, indeed.
What's going to happen?
Oh, social poise again, oh dear. Oh dear, oh dear.
You know, you both look figures of fun in those pajamas.
I don't believe I've ever been so acutely irritated in my whole life.
It is annoying for you, Ernest. I do see that. I'm so sorry.
Yes, we're both sorry. I think your arrogance is insufferable. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm very, very angry. Gilda, for heaven's sake, tell them to go.
They wouldn't. Not if I told them until I was black in the face.
Quite right.
Not without you, we wouldn't.
That's very sweet of you both.
What are you up to? Oh, tell us, my little dear, my clever little dear. Tell us what you're up to.
What have you been saying to Ernest?
Lots of things.
They've been extremely offensive, both of them.
In what way?
I'd rather not discuss it any further.
I believe you've got a little fatter, Otto.
He eats too much rice.
You look very well, though.
Thank you.
So do you, Leo. The line between your eyes is deeper, but you seem very healthy.
No, I am.
You were always very strong, constitutionally, strong as an ox. Do you remember that, Ernest?
What?
Nothing, doesn't matter.
Stop pulling our ears and stroking us, Gilda, and tell us your secret. Tell us why you're so strange and quiet. Tell us what you're up to.
Don't you know? I've given in.
What?
I've given in. I've thrown my hand in. The game's over.
Gilda, what do you mean?
What I say.
You mean... You can't mean that...
I mean I'm going away from you, Ernest. Some things are too strong to fight against. I've been fighting for 2 years and it's no use. I'm bored with the battle. Sick to death of it. So I've given in.
You're insane. You can't be serious.
I'm not serious. That's what's so dreadful. I feel I ought to be, but I'm not. My heart's bobbing up and down inside me like a parrot in a cage. It's shameful, I know, but I can't help it.
And you two. You two sitting there with the light of triumph in your eyes. Say something, can't you? Say something, for God's sake, before I slap your smug little faces.
I knew it last night. We both knew it.
We laughed ourselves to sleep. Gilda, pull yourself together. Don't be a fool. Pull yourself together.
Don't get excited, Ernest. It doesn't matter to you as much as all that.
Oh, you're crazy. You're stark, staring mad.
I am. I'm mad with joy. I'm mad with relief. I thought they really had forgotten me. That they really were free of me. I thought that they were never coming back, that I should never see them again. That my heart would be heavy and sick and lonely for them until I died.
Serve you right for leaving us. Serve you damn well right.
Be quiet. Shut your trap, my darling. I've got to explain to Ernest. I've made use of you, Ernest. And I'm ashamed of that. And I've lied to you. I'm ashamed of that, too. But at least I didn't know it. I was too busy lying to myself at the same time. Oh, I've worked hard and bought things and sold things all the time, pretending that my longing for these two was fading. But it wasn't. They came back last night, looking very sleek and sly in their newly pressed suits. And the moment I saw them, I knew it was no good pretending anymore. I fought against it. Honestly, I did. I ran away from them. Oh, Ernest, you've understood such a lot. Understand just this much more and try to forgive me. Because I can't possibly live without them, and that's that.
I gather that the fact that I'm your husband is not of the faintest importance to you.
It's never been anything more than a comfortable sort of arrangement, has it?
Apparently not as comfortable as I imagined.
Exquisitely comfortable, Ernest, and easygoing, and very, very nice. But those things don't count in a situation like this. You must see that.
It won't last. She knows too much now to be taken in by both of you again.
You're wrong, Ernest. You're wrong.
Your lack of balance verges on insanity.
Do you know that was downright rude?
Oh, why go on talking? Talking isn't any good. Look at me, Ernest. Look at me. Can't you see what's happened?
You're a mad woman again.
Why shouldn't I be a mad woman? I've been sane and still for 2 years. Oh, we're all of a piece, the three of us. Those early years made us so. From now on, we shall have to live and die our own way. No one else's is any good. We don't fit.
No, you don't. You don't, and you never will. Your values are false and distorted.
Ernest, be friendly. It can't hurt you much.
Not anymore. I wasted too much friendship on all of you. You're not worth it.
There's a lot of vanity in your anger, Ernest, which isn't really worthy of your intelligence.
Don't speak to me, please.
Otto's perfectly right. This behavior isn't worthy of your intelligence. If you were twisted up inside and really unhappy, it'd be different, but you're not. You're no more than offended and resentful that your smooth habits should be tampered with.
Hold your tongue. I've had too much of your effrontery already.
Once and for all, Ernest, don't be bitter and so dreadfully outraged. Please, please calm down, and you'll find it much easier to understand.
You overrate my capacity for understanding. I don't understand. The whole situation is revolting to me. I shall never understand. I never could understand this... disgusting three-sided erotic hotspot.
Why, good heavens. King Solomon had 100 wives and was thought very highly of. I can't see why Gilda shouldn't be allowed a couple of gentlemen friends.
Your ill-timed flippancy is only in keeping with the rest of your execrable taste.
Certain emotions transcend even taste, Ernie. Well, take anger, for example. Look what anger's doing to you. You're blowing yourself out like a frog.
Be quiet! Be quiet! Why should we be quiet? You're making enough row to blast the roof off. Why should you have the monopoly of noise? Why should your pompous moral pretensions be allowed to hurtle across the city without any competition? We've all got lungs. Let's use them. Let's shriek like mad. Let's enjoy ourselves.
Stop it here. I implore you. Stop it.
It is ludicrous. It's ludicrous to think that I was ever taken in by any of you. That I ever mistook you for anything but the unscrupulous, worthless degenerates that you are. There isn't a decent instinct among the lot of you. You're shifty and irresponsible and abominable, and I don't wish to set eyes on you again as long as I live. Never! You hear me? Never! Never! Never!
Anna Massey played Gilda, John Rye, Otto, Martin Jarvis, Leo, and John Rowe, Ernest, in Noel Coward's Design for Living. Grace Torrance was played by Irene Sutcliffe, and Henry and Helen Carver by David Graham and Nicolette McKenzie. The play was edited by Guy Vazin and produced and directed by Ian Cottrell.
That production of Design for Living was first broadcast in 1976.